Blog Talk Radio.
Famously
in a well-received speech, really on both sides of the aisle, by many cases, about the bad deals that are coming up. And there are Democrats and Republicans both that do not like what's going on with Obama and what he's doing with Iran. So we see all that. We know about it. But let's look at it from the prophetic aspect of it. There is going to be every nation is around Israel against them. Israel wins. Understand this. They're not going to be devastated. They're not going to be destroyed. The Jews are not going to be wiped off the face of this earth because Jews are God's chosen people. So don't get into a panic thinking, oh my. Now, we do need to be concerned about what's going on, and it would be good and would be great, would be very comforting, as it were, to have people that are sympathetic to a Christian position in positions of authority in Israel, and Benjamin Netanyahu, who is very sympathetic to Christian positions. In fact, for forever, Jews and Christians have been on the same page for the most part, at least socio-economic reasons and stuff, certainly not theologically in a lot of ways. But let's read the scripture this morning that kind of brings us around, because we can't put too much emphasis on that. The prophetic significance of Netanyahu's defeat or re-election is that the stage is going to be set. Could this be it? Yes. Could it be a situation where we get somebody in that doesn't care and does things? I mean, Netanyahu has some things that he wants to give up, some stuff, and I don't think that's right. I don't. According to the Word of God, what God has given to his people is his people's, and no one should be messing with it. So, you know, you could disagree, and you could do it agreeably. But let's look at a scripture that kind of brings us back to where we need to be right now, I think. At least in the world, if anyone is in Christ, is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Okay? So that's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. And to quote again from Ann Graham Lotz, I just love her morning devotion. Listen to this. The changes brought about by God's word in your life and in my life are not primarily for the purposes of making us good or successful or happy, or wealthy, or prosperous, or problem-free. That sentence right there is just dynamic, because I think most people think that changes brought about in our life by God are to make us successful, and to bring happiness, and to bring wealth into the storehouses, and prosperous as individuals, and our problems to go away. I think most people think that. She goes on to say, the primary purpose of these changes is that we might know God fully and intimately, so we can reflect him in all we are and say and do, bringing glory to the one who created us. So the question she poses is your life complete? Do you feel you're waiting for something, but you don't know what? Do you have an aching loneliness, a hunger, pain of the spirit, a yearning deep inside yourself for something, for someone? Then get in touch with your Creator. You're hungry for God. You were created with a capacity to know Him in a personal, permanent love relationship. That capacity is empty until you establish the relationship with Him for which you were created. How does that happen? Now I add this. A personal living relationship with Jesus Christ by the power of his Holy Spirit dwelling in you and unioning his Holy Spirit with your spirit, causing a birth, the new birth. Once you're born again, then all of this will start to matter. All of this will start to make sense. Prior to that point, it's all debatable. And you may be a very fierce debater. And you may have some what look to be fairly good arguments against any kind of personal relationship with God. But once you have that, you cannot deny that. You will not deny him if in fact you are true. Francis Schaeffer was a theologian, apologetics guy, born about 1912, died about 1984 or something like that. His son Frankie was involved with him with all kinds of stuff. And he was kind of avant-garde, leading edge stuff. Kind of kicking against the goads a little bit. Frankie has turned his back on God, hates religion, hates establishment. Yeah, it's vile when you hear him talk. He's turned his back. He says he was a Christian. and he is no longer. And he helped his dad write some phenomenal books. And I, as I watch these people who at one point were a pillar, a stalwart for the faith, have turned their back. We have some real trauma happening to the church. So people that are asking the question, you know, what is it all about? What's life all about? They need to know it's all about Jesus Christ and glorifying him and reflecting him in all that we say and all that we are and all we do. Where can we get good intel? Where can we get good marching orders? I was thinking about it and I thought, well, we've dealt with through a lot of the epistles. We went through 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, went through Jude. We've been through, I just realized in the last couple of years we've been through a lot of the different epistles, went through the book of Malachi, which is really interesting. That book leads right into the 400 years of silence into the New Testament. But where can we get wisdom? Well, wisdom comes from God. And the wisest man that ever lived was Solomon. And he still did knucklehead stuff. So all the wisdom we have, we can still make bad decisions. But I think the best chance for us is to have as much wisdom as we can get. Since we are going to make goofy decisions, let's get as much wisdom as we can. And I thought about something I've done for years, and I've done over the years a lot. And I thought, I'm just going to start today. And I thought, well, should I start with the 16th? I go, no, let's just start from the beginning. I'm going to do what I can for the next 31 days to actually share with you Proverbs. Now, you could do this easily. You could do this easily yourself, and I would suggest doing this yourself. But if you tune in and you're one that tunes in here, you know, one of the faithful, you know, 20-some-odd people a day, if you're one of those that tune in, then this is what you're going to be hearing. And what you can do is go later on or in the evening and read it again. But there's 31 Proverbs and literally 31 days in an average month, 30 to 31. And when you have the more days, just go ahead and read two the last day or what have you. But the point is, go through the book of Proverbs. This book was written somewhere between 700 and 950 years before Christ, before he arrived on the scene. So we're talking wisdom that's thousands of years old, close to 3,000 years old, coming from God, being penned by Solomon and others. As they wrote these down, this information for us to learn how to live, and that's what we need today. Is we really need to learn how to live. And when we see the wisdom that comes out of the Word of God, that some people call dusty old truths, that we need to get past and get into something new. They say that the Bible is not relevant today. That there's so many people saying that. Well, it's not relevant. It's not relevant. I think you'll see in our study. And what we'll do, here's what I'm going to do. Every day I'm going to read the entire book, the entire chapter of Proverbs for that day that we're going to read it. I'm going to start in one. I know we're on the 16th, so this will go into the month of April too. But I'm going to just start in chapter one because I want to start at the beginning. I want us to hear that. And I'm going to probably pick out one or two of the verses and just talk a little bit about them. But study through with us. Listen to this wisdom that, again, is thousands of years old from the Word of God. And if you're a believer and you listen to this show, God will reveal to you just how powerful this book is. If you're a non-believer, you check in, and you're a pre-believer, you're kind of checking things out. Listen to how relevant this is for today. Even if you're a believer, listen to how relevant this is for today and for life today. Chapter 1, Proverbs. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to discern the sayings of understanding, to receive instruction in wise behavior, righteousness, justice, and equity, to give prudence to the naive, to the youth, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase in learning. A man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. To understand a proverb and a figure, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol. Even whole as those who go down to the pit, We shall find all kinds of precious wealth. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the net on the eyes of any bird. But they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of the noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates of the city, she utters her sayings. How long, O naive ones, will you love simplicity? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. And you neglected all my counsel and did not want my reproof. I will even laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm and your calamity comes on like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you. Then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they shall not find me, because they hated knowledge. They did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would not accept my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. So they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Sounds mean until you really put it together and go, wait, this is how everything is. And then we personify wisdom here. It could be God. It's God here. Do you want to listen to God? Do you want to do the things like avoid bad company? Do you want to heed wisdom's advice or not? And so many people do it until they come up to wherever their line in the sand is and they realize they're lost and then they cry out. You don't get it both ways. You can't live in the world and then when it gets really, really bad to where you think it's too bad, then you call out. Now, the extra part here that is not covered, okay, in that just we can't just read that one chapter and say, okay, that's it, and it's cut and dried. The beauty of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is you might be one that does spurn God's wisdom. You say, I don't want anything to do with it. I want to lie in wait. I want to party. I want to do this. I want to go do that. You might be one that's doing that. And if you're in the sound of my voice and you've heard this, you might be going, yeah, so what? You know, blah, blah, blah. Or you might know people that talk that way. The beauty of Christ's death, burial, and resurrection is if you did push it to the limit, but you still had breath in your lungs, and your feet were still on this earth, and you're at your last moment of life, and you called out to God, he would hear you. At this point, when this was written, his Holy Spirit had not been poured out the way it has been. He said, I will pour out my spirit on you and make words known to you. And he has done that. Here's the deal. Since Jesus came, was crucified, was buried, and rose from the dead, having victory over death, the grave couldn't hold him, and he ascended and sits at the right hand of the Father, and that shows completion. Nothing more can be done to win you over. You must make a decision, yes or no. And as long as you have breath, and as long as Jesus hasn't returned and touched his foot on the Mount of Olivet, that has not happened yet. You have a chance, and God will receive you. Now, if you're walking, and you know Christ, and you've received him, and you start doing all these shenanigans, doing all this stuff, if you're not convicted, then you need to go back and make your calling and election sure. You need to go back and test yourself, as it says in 1 Peter and 2 Corinthians. Test yourself to see if you're in the faith. Check and see where you're at. Make your calling and election sure, and then get in a place where you repent and you turn from that. If you have no conviction, if you're listening to me and you do this bad stuff and you have no conviction, I suggest you've never really met Jesus, because he changes you and transforms you by the renewing of your mind. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to still do some stuff or slip into some stuff or even, for that matter, dive into some stuff, but you're not going to be going, hey, it's okay. This is perfectly fine. This is just now. Heaven is later. No, 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 no. That is not what it's about. Bad company corrupts good morals. And you hang out with bad people long enough, you're going to be doing some shenanigans. That's just, even if you don't do them, you're going to turn your back the other way. You're going to turn the other way and not say anything about it. You're not going to be speaking out against things that are wrong, because you're going to be with nothing but people that do all that and think it's okay. God wants to impart his wisdom to you, to us. And if you were to look at the theme of this whole thing we looked at today, like an all-encompassing theme, the fear of the Lord, verse 7, is the beginning of knowledge. Now, people want to learn things and how to do things and how to utilize things and everything. You have to start somewhere. Well, if you want to understand God, then it's the reverent awe. When it says fear of the Lord, it's the reverent awe. You go, wow, God is the creator. He's the end. He's the beginning. You don't go past him. There's nothing above him. So fear of the Lord, reverent awe of the Lord, the reverent awe of the Lord. Submitting to him, that's the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom, and they despise instruction, and they despise knowledge. You see, and that is where most people are. Many are called, but few are chosen. The path and the gate that leads to destruction is wide, and many enter by that. But the gate and the path that leads to life eternal is narrow, and few find it. And I've said this before in many sermons that I've preached, but it's really easy to understand if you look at it this way. The way the world sees things is like a funnel. Imagine a great big funnel, and the people on the far right side of the funnel have certain beliefs, and people on the far left side of the funnel have certain beliefs, and they're way separated by this big chasm, but if they're going in the funnel to the right place, you know, all these roads lead to one place. You go down through the little end. The problem is, if you're not in Christ, all of those roads lead to hell. And when you drop out the bottom of that funnel, there ain't no going back up in. There's no going back up in. Okay? Now turn that funnel upside down, which is really ridiculous, unless you want to be the Tin Man and the Wizard of Oz and have a hat. Okay? Turn it upside down and you go, this is a useless tool. This tool was meant to go the other way so that when I'm pouring something in, it can catch it all and put it into one place. Well, that's what the enemy wants to do, is catch us all and send us to one place, the place he's going to inhabit for all eternity. So you turn it upside down, go against the grain, and look at it and go, man, that is going to be hard to hit that. That's a very small target. That's a small target. It's just difficult to get to. But if you do get to it and get through that small opening at the bottom of the funnel, it's now upside down, it's like the narrow gate, and what happens on the other side, it just goes, it spreads out so far and wide you can't even see the reaches of it. That's eternal life in Christ. That's it. It's a very narrow path and gate, and few get into it. But when they do, it's life eternal, it's broad, it's the most fulfilling life possible. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, the reverent awe of God. A note in my Bible, I like how it puts it. The motto of the wisdom teaches the theme of the book, and it's that the fear of the Lord is the starting point and the essence of wisdom. In other words, fear of the Lord means just reverence for God. Or, as I say, reverent awe. It's you're just in awe. and expressed submission. If you want to see that, there's all kinds of scriptures that you can find out about that. Job 28:28, Ecclesiastes 12:13, Psalm 111, verse 10, also Proverbs 9:10, Proverbs 15:33. You cannot acquire wisdom by a mechanical formula, okay? It's just not done that way. It's acquired through a relationship with Jesus Christ, and that's the beginning. And the fools are very gullible. People are, that's us, we're gullible. We're very, very gullible. And they're silly persons, by the way. They're silly. They're silly. And they're morally irresponsible, and they're mentally naive, and they get involved in things that are horrific, and our world is full of that kind of stuff. So the wisdom books here, these wisdom books, Proverbs, if you're on the first day of the month and you read that, you can go, wow, or you might grab onto a different scripture. You might just grab, out of those 33 scriptures, you might just look at one that just really encourages you that day. He who listens to me shall live securely and shall be at ease from the dread of evil. Verse 33, that's awesome. If you're saved, that matters. That's it. If you're his, that matters. If you're not, there's some other verses, and it's usually, if you're this, you're this. If you're this, you're this. And as we study through the book of Proverbs, you're going to see that. So just know this. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. Are you going to be one who fears God, or are you going to be one of the ones who's a fool? We have a lot of stuff happening in our world, and we're going to be seeing more and more and more and more and more of it happening. Are you going to be wise or not? That's the question. Wise or not? We'll see you guys tomorrow here at 11 o'clock.